Just like put your mouth up to the mic and just like rub your lips on it.
Yeah.
And that's how you do that, I think. I think that's the technical way.
Make out with your microphone.
That's number one rule of recording. Make sure it's real slobbery in there. I made a really weird decision, and I don't know if I'm going to be happy with this decision or not, so just forewarning, you will possibly hear me complaining about said decision later on. I got a pumpkin spice latte, but I put caramel in it, and I really don't usually like PSLs to begin with, but for some reason, like, my body is like, you need just one. So I don't know. I just want to let you know that that's a thing, that's a decision that I made, and you all may be getting the brunt of the consequences.
My beef with pumpkin spice lattes is just the fact that to me they just taste like any other flavored latte. Like, it all tastes like sugar. Like, whenever Starbucks has another latte that is anything, like, honest to God, I'm like, Christmas ones, unless it's chocolate and peppermint.
Yeah.
It, like, their creme brulee or their eggnog, I'm like, these all taste the same. So I don't know what, I guess the pumpkin spice latte came first, and maybe that's why there's so much fandom around it. But I'm kind of like, I don't taste the difference.
I will
they all taste the same.
This is not a Starbucks one. I got it from, we've got five coffee shops in a 2-block radius because this is Olympia. And so I got this one from one of my local like stands, which I usually really like, and so I've never done a PSL from them before. This is a first, so we'll see what happens. But in general, I don't like Starbucks coffee. I just get their like frappuccinos and shit because I hate the taste of their coffee so much. So I've always hated pumpkin spice lattes, mostly for that reason. So I don't know, so we'll just see. I just wanted to like forewarn you guys, I haven't taken my first sip yet because it's still pretty hot. You guys, this tastes good.
Oh, good.
It tastes like pumpkin pie in a drink.
I think that's the point. You did it.
I'm so happy. This is worth it. This is suddenly worth it. Okay, I understand now. I get it. Yeah. I'm going to be that person. Anyway, let's go. Let's do this.
Hi. Okay. Hello, and welcome to the Work in Progress podcast. We are four creative friends talking about creative things. And let's jump right into introductions, starting with Ray.
Oh, dang it. You would ask me to do it as I'm telling my dog to lie down again. Hi, my name is Ray Noble. We're all very sleepy today, or doing other important things as well. I have all of my animals in the room, just heads up. And I'm a queer writer from the Pacific Northwest who is very tired. That's it. That's who I am today, guys. This is me. That's and as good wonderful. As you're getting. Thanks.
Wonderful. So
thanks, Bri.
It's all good.
Yay.
How about Maggie? I'm just choosing you guys at random. It's fun.
That's okay. I know my name.
What?
My name is Maggie Derrick. I am a queer writer and author. No, those are the same things. But I'm also an artist. I live in Vancouver, BC, Canada. And I have a couple books. You can read them on Wattpad. You can find me there. The Star in the Ocean, The Wind in the Horizon. They go together. They're friends. And I am presently sitting here on pins and needles waiting for my new niece to arrive. So,
yay!
Don't talk to me.
Yes.
Don't look at me. Don't talk to me.
Don't I'm talk busy. To me and my niece
Babies
ever
are happening.
Again.
There's a baby happening.
Okay, but I'm literally imagining you in that one meme where it's don't talk to me or my son ever again, but it's don't talk to me or my niece ever again.
It's perfect.
So it's happening. You're now that person. And I'm imagining the baby just being a tiny version of Maggie.
Oh, man.
We can only be a terror. Hope.
Exactly.
Terror.
No, it totally would. I was a bad kid.
Oh, no.
Yep.
How about Athena? Welcome.
Hello, listeners. I almost said hello, readers.
I mean, most of them are probably readers.
Go read our stuff, and then you can be our readers and our listeners.
Exactly. So, yes, I am from... Oh, I am Athena Wright. I am from Toronto, Canada, where it was super hot yesterday. So we have basically, you know, three seasons all in 1 week. However, in Alberta, it was snowing this week.
I heard about that.
So they had four seasons in 1 week.
They were sending me videos because both my brothers and my sister-in-law live in Edmonton, and they would just send me videos, and it was just them going, fuck. It was, I laughed.
Yeah.
So as much as I complain about Toronto weather, ha. So, yes, I write contemporary romance. You can find my books on Amazon. I just had a new release on Thursday, so I'm pretty excited about that. Mm-hmm. Everybody said, all the reviews say it made them cry. And I'm like, yes, yes, give me your tears.
Your tears give me life. This is how I sustain myself.
Yes.
Love it. So,
guys, it just started storming over here. I'm so excited. This is my day.
You like thunderstorms?
I love thunderstorms. It's not to that point yet, but it just started raining super hard out of nowhere. It was sunny when I walked in the house, which was literally 15 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And there were some massive, super, super, super dark clouds over towards the mountains, which means that they're going to be coming over to me. I'm so happy. Okay, sorry.
Into thunderstorms and lightning. I need it.
Very, very frightening.
Galileo! Galileo! Oh, welcome to the Work in Progress podcast. I am Brianna Keenitz, and I will be your host today.
Oh yeah, you will.
That was weird.
Easy
sorry.
Does all right.
I'm a Leo. It's
I'm
okay.
tired, guys.
I live in Montana. It's mountains and. When I went to Germany, explaining to people where Montana was always a fun adventure because they're like, oh, that's on the west coast, right? And I was like, well, no, it's more east than the west coast, but it's still west. It's mountains. It's mountains. Just conversation every time. What are we talking about today? Dog poop, that's one thing that
Brianna,
we're talking about.
The entire point was that I wasn't going to mention it in the chat because now I'm going to have to edit this out.
Nope, dog poop.
Okay, fine. Anyway, the dog now has to poop in the middle of the freaking storm. I'll be right back.
Have fun.
Oh, I will.
We'll start talking about this topic was actually inspired by Ray, so while she's gone, we'll just talk about her. I wanted to talk about what happens when your draft that you're working on stops working. Everything just crashes and burns and you're like, oh fuck.
This is so relevant, you don't even know. Yeah. I just woke up today. Well, the last couple of days I've been ruminating on it, and I just had the realization that the book I'm working on right now, like the next book in the series, might be crap and I might need to scrap it all and start from zero.
I thought for sure you were going to say it was the goddess whip, and I was going to be like, Athena? No, I swear to God.
Even.
No.
I'm coming over there. You were in so much shit.
It is my Rockstar series that I believe the next book in the series is going to be not good. So I'm thinking, I don't know. So relevant.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm so excited. This is perfect. So what happens when you realize things aren't working? What is that point that makes you realize things aren't working? What do we do about it? Like, how much of it do you trash? What do you keep? Do you keep any of it? Does it all just go away? How do you cope? Like, yeah, let's just go there.
That happened to us before already, too.
Do you want to talk about it since it's happening to you right now?
It's funny because it happened to me before in my previous series. I had written about 10,000 words of the book with the drummer. It was his book, and I got 10,000 words in, and I was like, this is just not working. This is just not, I cannot imagine finishing this book the way it is now. So I scrapped it all and started over, and I think it's one of my stronger ones, so I'm really glad I scrapped it. And it's happening with this one. I've got about, you know, 5 chapters, 10,000 words in, and I'm like, I don't think it's good. I mean, it's not bad. I just feel like it's not really working the way I want it to. There's just too many things going on. I'm not sure how to explain it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's difficult because it's not bad. What I have isn't bad. It's just not sort of working. Mm-hmm. It's just not working. And the problem is, do I, you know, completely start from scratch and just delete those 10,000 words and say sorry and start from zero? Or do I try to rework it and keep some of the stuff? I don't know. For my previous one, I just scrapped it, and now I have about 10,000 words of a totally different story I might reuse somewhere. But yeah, it sucks, man.
Yeah, it hurts.
Yeah. Because I like the plot. The premise is cute, but it's just not working.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good, though, that you're listening to that little voice in your head that's saying something's not right, because I've never had to scrap a manuscript completely, but I've definitely been working through, I've scrapped complete chapters before, being like, mm-hmm. I'm trying to force something that isn't coming naturally and isn't flowing, and it's not fun to write like that, and the end product is usually messy, and it's good just to acknowledge that, okay, this isn't working, I need to just, even if I just put this to the side and try again and go back to the original, which I've never ended up going back to the original, it just helps, because I find if it's that hard, then something, you're doing something wrong and it's just not worth it.
You know who my voice is? My voice isn't my voice. The little voice in my head is actually my friend Crystal's voice. So I've talked about Crystal before. She hates everything in a good way. She expects quality. She doesn't have a lot of time to read because she's always writing and working so much. So if she's going to read a book, it better be worth her time. She won't take just average. So she will only read, you know, really good books, and she'll stop reading one if it's just not up to her standards. And she's my beta reader, and I can just hear her in the back of my head as I'm writing. Oh, Crystal would hate this. She would say it's slowing. She would say it's a slow pace. She would say this is unbelievable. She would say this, and I'm just like, you know what? She's right. It's not actually her. It's my voice thinking it's her, but I can almost anticipate what she would say. So, yeah.
I just want everybody to know that I was outside for a literal 30 seconds and my entire body was soaking wet. It's like torrential downpour. Also, oh, no. Hi, I'm back. It's
don't you
fine.
Have an umbrella?
Sexy. I live in Washington. We don't believe in umbrellas.
What is with that? I remember when I moved to Vancouver and, you know, I'd bring my umbrella to work every day in the fall.
You just don't do umbrellas. Sure. You get used
and
to
I
it.
I just brought my umbrella and everyone was like, oh, you can tell you're new to Vancouver. I'm like, fuck you. Why wouldn't you use an umbrella? Why would you choose to be wet?
It's not that you're purposely choosing to be wet. It's that you should already have the clothing equipment to stop needing the umbrella. Like, if I had known it was this bad, I would have like thrown my rain jacket on. I just ran downstairs, wasn't mm-hmm. paying attention to it.
No.
Yeah.
No. Yes. No. I have rain jackets too, and I'd still prefer to have an umbrella to keep said rain jacket.
Umbrellas are the worst. No. They're just clumpy and stupid and pointless to have.
If you're walking through town, fuck it. If you're out hiking, if you're out doing shit, okay, don't bring your umbrella. But like in life, come on. Just choosing to be uncomfortable. That's
you're
stupid.
Not choosing to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, you are.
I love the rain. I have no issues with the rain. Also, if you're wearing a rain jacket and the proper clothing, then you shouldn't have any problems.
Aren't. Most people aren't. You're walking around in the city. They're all dressed up.
Then that sounds like their problem.
Well,
it sounds like they're not prepared, because I'm usually prepared.
No, they just don't care. They just don't care.
Well, yeah, because it's like, it's just rain. It's just rain.
Uh-huh. Okay. Sure.
Exactly. Either way, it took me an extra second because I had to change into my pajamas.
Mm-hmm. See?
Someone is dying. Well,
someone take this conversation back.
For the record, I'm on Ray's side here, but it doesn't really rain in Montana, so we just get really excited, and we're like, sexy rain.
yes, sexy rain.
Rain is always sexy. So we were talking about, well, Maggie, you were saying that like you've done chapters and stuff for The Star in the Ocean, and I'm assuming also for The Wind in the Horizon, but like there was that point on Wattpad where you were like, shit, this prologue thing isn't working for me, and you basically just like murdered the entire beginning of the book.
What ended up happening there though was we, and I say we because Athena helped me do it, mm-hmm. and what happened was it was the pacing and the fact that Wattpad doesn't have the patience for long chapters. So wound up having to sit back and break up these longer chapters into shorter little episodes.
Gonna say that's so, kind of what we talked about last week, right?
Yeah, it wasn't quite the same as rewriting per se. Having to scrap it necessarily though. But I mean, in the beginning, like before anyone read anything, I kind of did, and we've talked about that before, where I gave those first original five chapters to Athena, and some of those parts, I would say most of it stayed in the book. It just got fixed.
Yeah.
But yeah, that even that wasn't necessarily a complete scrap it and rewrite. But I do remember there being a couple of chapters where I reluctantly was like, fine, this isn't working and I'm going to just start over. And then just being so relieved with how much easier it came when I did that. When I finally just said, okay, I'm going to let this go and I'm going to try again. And that was the hardest part, was just letting myself let go, because once I started over again, everything just flowed and became so much easier.
I wish that was my situation. Like when I scrapped Witch Girl, which Brie, I don't know if you listened to last week's conversation actually, so I guess I'll do a miniature recap of the very end of it. We had a discussion about where I was with Witch Girl and how I'd still been having problems coming back to it. And Maggie, being the amazing friend that she is, gave me the punch in the face to, like, let me stop and was like, hey, I give you permission to not work on it right now, which has been really nice. Because I'm one of those people that for some reason, even though it's my own work, etc., I need other people's permission. Otherwise, I will just keep diving in and being like, no, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this. And yeah. I need other people to remind me that it's okay. So Maggie, being the wonderful friend who always punches me in the face with the truth, basically was like, hey, you can stop, you're fine. So I'm currently not working on Witch Girl, but on the opposite of side of what Maggie is saying, when I scrapped that 40,000 words, it hurt so much. And the thing is, I've gotten rid of large chunks of writing before with absolutely no problem. One of the stories that I shelved prior to this, I was consistently getting rid of 10,000, 20,000 words and never had any problems with it. And that was just like during drafting. Like I would realize that I had gone down a path that I didn't know wasn't the path that I was supposed to be going down. And so then I'd be like, oh, okay, well here, let me restart from this point and see where else I can take it. And so I just like scrap big chunks. And for some reason, whatever it is with Witch Girl, this just like knocked me on my ass and was like, no, you need to feel all of these feelings that go along with taking all of this out and removing all of this and starting over from scratch. And maybe that's it. Maybe it's that I am like supposed to be starting from the very, very, very beginning from scratch. I think I basically wanted to keep 5,000 words of it. And even that isn't going to be salvageable at this point, because I'm just completely reworking everything down to the main characters, to the plot, etc. And so it's just really weird. And so over the course of the last few weeks, I've been like, yes, I'm going to work on Witch Girl. Witch Girl is going to be like my main priority right now. I'm going to focus on it. I want to focus on it. And it's a story that I really want to tell. And it's a story that I think I would be able to tell. But for whatever reason, when I sit down at the computer, it is like I am trying to murder myself every single time I sit down to write. So just on the reverse end of like what Maggie is saying, I guess, because sometimes if you start over, it's not always going to feel like it just clicks, because I've had days where I've sat down to write and I'm like, yes, this feels right. This feels like I can do this again. And I'll get the 100 words out that are, you know, sitting in my head, and then I'll be like, oh, fuck. And then I just can't get any further than that. So but neither is, like, the proper way. I guess it just kind of depends on where you're at with the story. And I think a lot of this, and I've been thinking in terms of, like, broader stuff about what's been happening in my life, etc. I think a lot of it is just that it's been a really rough year for me, and Witch Girl was the culmination of a lot of time and effort, and also, which, I mean, obviously any story is, but also during a very stressful time in my life, because The last, like, 8 months have been absolute bullshit. I actually had to, like, write it out the other day because I was trying to remember all of the terrible shit that's happened since, like, mid-2017. And just in my life, not even looking at the outside world. And I had the realization of, like, wait a minute. Maybe this is why you're having the problem with Witch Girl. Not because the story is wrong. Not because you, like, are having real problems with anything involving the writing. It's just that this story wanted to give birth to itself in one of the most stressful times of your life, and now that you have to add that to the list of things that went wrong in this year, it's just a little bit too close to home right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, like, either way, it's there's no one right way to scrap shit and come back to it, or, like, you're not supposed to necessarily feel absolutely perfect as soon as you start writing that second draft. Sometimes it's going to take a really long time to feel comfortable coming back to that draft, and sometimes, yeah, you're going to scrap all of it and you're going to write 4 words and be like, oh my god, this is so much better than everything I was writing before.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I just wanted to throw that out there just because it's the literal opposite of your situation, Mags, and I thought that would be good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it's another one of those, I think it's also just part of revision sometimes. It's like, this whole thing is not working, or a large part of this thing is not working, and I need to scrap it or do something different with it. Like, my first thing that I wrote and put up on Wattpad was a sci-fi series, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed writing it. I'm not displeased with how it turned out, but by the time I had finished book two, I was like, I don't really like this the way it is anymore. Like, I don't have any issues with the way that it's turned out, or the way it's been received so well by people on Wattpad and stuff. But I just, it's like, I want to do something different. Like, I want to try harder. Like, I feel like I've learned so much in that little bit of time, and I just want to do something more and different with it.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's a way to see, again, that you've grown, rather than just being like, oh, I'm a terrible writer and this is all horrible. It's like, oh, I've grown from the point where I wrote this thing to now, and that's okay. And we're going to just move on and try again.
Yeah. I like that, too.
Mm-hmm. So what is the point? What's the point where you realize, like, this thing isn't working? Or, like, how much do we, I don't know.
10,000 words. Because it's happened twice to me.
Really?
God, I wish 10,000.
Yeah, I get to 10,000 and I'm like, oh, Jesus, God, what the? And I just don't, I can't move on because I just keep on thinking about the first, like, five or six chapters and being like, it's okay, but I don't think it's working, and I just can't let, and I don't know if I want to continue going on and try to make it work or just scrap it, you know? Mm-hmm. I just, because it's cute, it works, but is it working well enough? And that little voice in my head, damn you, Crystal, is saying, no, it's not going to work.
Crystal, how dare you?
I seriously wish that 10,000 words was my point, because I don't hit my rocky patch in any of my writing until at least 20,000 words. And then from 20,000, I can usually get an idea of where I've fucked up or if I have fucked up. And then Witch Girl was a completely different experience for me, because I didn't realize that how badly I'd fucked up until 40,000, because I kept pushing, because what was wrong with this story was basically the entire core of the plot. There is this character that was supposed to be the antagonist, and the antagonist just would not come to me. I would write scenes with her, and I changed her name multiple times. I changed her personality multiple times. I changed how she looked every single time she came into a scene. She was just not a character that I could get a grasp on, and I could not figure out why until I realized one day, and I think it was in a conversation with Brie and Maggie, that I just went, holy fuck, this character isn't supposed to be here at all. Why am I doing this? And I'd already written her into 20,000 words of shit. And on top of that, if this character isn't supposed to be there, this completely unravels the entire plot, because this character is the literal reason the plot exists in the first place. And so it was one of those moments for me where I was just like, holy shit, what do I do? Because I've never had that experience before. Because like I said, otherwise 20,000 words, I start struggling instantly. Like, I don't know what it is. That is where I get my, like, I don't know, antsy, is this even worth it moments. And 20,000 to 30,000, I'm usually like, oh, fuck, I want to kill this story. I have no desire to be writing this anymore. I'm forcing myself through it. And usually I can find pretty quickly where I'm deviating and where the issue is. And yeah, this time was just not that way. I think I'm just having a lot of issues with Witch Girl in general. Like, she, there were so many things that were wrong with the story. Why did I do it for so long?
Yeah. I feel like it's not so much word count, maybe, as it is beats, like turning points. You know, you get to a certain point where you've written, you know, the beginning, right? And then you have, in romance, you have like the meet cute, and then you have the inciting incident, and then you have the, right? And there's certain beats. And for me personally, after I get done the sort of initial setup, and now I'm like, okay, I've set up what this story is about, what these characters are about. Now I have to kind of like take the beginning and turn that into like the actual plot, and that's when it all falls apart. It falls apart basically at the sort of inciting incident, I think, maybe, you know. Yeah. I've set everything up and I get to the end of the setup and I realize my setup sucked. So maybe that's why it's 10,000 words, because it's not just a random number. It's actually, you know, you break it down and there's an actual point at which you think, I cannot go any further because everything I wrote before messes up what comes next.
That makes total sense. Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to waste my time with this thing. I'm just going to have to go back and rewrite all of it instead of just this part that is already bad.
Especially because for me, it's really easy to write the beginning setup and then the end. I can decide what the first 5 to 10 chapters are going to be. Like, here's the setup. And then I know how the end's going to be. And I know the last 10 chapters. And I'm like, and here's how it all ends. But the middle is like a big, so if I get to the end of the setup and I have to start doing the, I don't know, part, and I don't know, if I still don't know what that question mark is, then how do I move on?
I feel that completely. My big issue is I always almost know the beginning. I mean, the beginning is always how it comes to me first, and so that's the easiest part for me to write, which is why I have so many stories that are like 10 to 20K started. And then I usually can get a pretty good idea of the end, and I know where I need to be going. And then it's filling in the point B, C, D, E's and being like, where the fuck, how do we even get here? How do we get from this point, which is so different from this point?
Yeah, it's really hard and I don't like doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say, ever since I've officially given myself the permission to walk away from Witch Girl with the help of Maggie, and honestly, Maggie, you were like the third person to tell me that I should just give up on it, and I feel like I just listen. Like, Maggie just has a really good, like, punch you in the face voice, and so I can't not listen to her. And so, like, I think I'd heard it and seen it in, like, text multiple times, and then when, I officially, like, heard you say that, like, it's okay to not work on it right now, it was like a weight lifted. Because I literally haven't thought about it since. Like, I've had moments where I'm like, okay, like, you know, I'm not really working on anything at the moment. Let me think about it. Like, I'll think about Witch Girl for like half a second. And then I'll just be like, okay, it's fine. Whereas before, every single time I was thinking about Witch Girl, I was like, okay, what do I need to do? How do I need to set this up? What am I changing about this story? And it would turn into just a spiral of thoughts that would just turn into, essentially at the end of it, like, why the fuck is this story not working? What is wrong with me? Why can't I write it? So it's felt really good to be able to be like, yes, I'm letting this go, which in its own way is a little bit therapeutic.
Yeah.
Wish I could just let it go. It sounds freeing. It sounds very freeing.
I mean, I will say that this has been an ongoing thought process since fucking February, March. When did I decide to scrap it?
It's been a while.
It's been a really long time. Yeah, like, this is not one of those things that I was just like, oh, a week ago I did this. Like, I have been struggling with this for months because I was so upset that I scrapped everything. I was too emotionally invested in everything to immediately come back to it. And then when I finally started walking away from the emotionally invested bit, I had a really good plot line. I had some other stuff that like really came together really quickly and I was really happy about. And then as soon as I sat down to write that shit, I was just presented with a brick wall.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this has not been an easy thing that I've just let go. This has been months worth of unfortunate feelings and me hating myself and my writing. So,
yeah.
I wish it were as easy as just letting go.
Yeah, but it's good. It's growing.
Mm-hmm.
It's growing, and sometimes growing is painful.
Yeah.
And then you'll be better for it.
I will say, I don't think I'm going to ever... This is not a story that I'm going to officially shelf. Like, I want to come back to it, and I know I want to come back to it. But I think I just have to give myself some legitimate distance for once. And I have to force that distance to work. Mm-hmm. Because before, I was like, yeah, I'm giving myself distance. But it was still always in the back of my head. And every time I would sit down to write anything, I would feel guilty that I wasn't writing it. And at this point, I literally just have to demand that I give myself distance from it, because that is the only way that I'm going to be able to come back to this story with open eyes.
That's what I did with The Witch's Patron. Like,
yeah,
just the idea of going back and doing the massive revisions that need to be done was exhausting. And I couldn't get myself to be excited about it. And except I know that there's like the bones of the story are decent. I know that there's something cool there. I just couldn't bring myself to do the work that needs to be done right now. So I've literally taken it and I put it on a shelf. Like, I had printed the whole thing up with all of my notes. It's in a binder. It's on a shelf. And when I'm ready, I know I'll go back to it. It's not going anywhere. Nope. And when I've grown as a writer and when I'm back in that headspace and when the time is right, I'll pick it back up and I'll dust it off and I'll make it what it could be.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same thing you have to do, is now is just not the right time for that story.
Yep. And I think, like, once upon a time, it was the right time. And then the story changed and now it's not anymore. And that's just the way that it is. And I don't know, just thinking about you, like, yours and my situation, Maggie, in comparison to, like, Athena's situation. Athena writes in a way that it's not really possible for her to do this sort of thing with her stories. And honestly, Athena, like, fucking props to you, because I do not know if I would be able to do that at all. Like, you work so hard and have to, like, force your stories out sometimes. And I'm sure that that's a lot of work. And, like, just seeing how much emotional, like, stunting I've had from working on this story so consistently and, like, trying to force myself to work on something that just isn't working. I can't imagine forcing myself to get through it and not giving myself that space.
Mm-hmm. I think it's because it gets easier each time. I don't know. Like, I've written a lot of books at this point. Like, I finished a lot of books. And I feel like in the beginning, it was a little bit harder, and it kind of gets easier. I mean, it's not like you don't still get stuck, and it's not like you still don't know what the fuck you're doing. It's just that you don't feel paralyzed by that. You're able mm-hmm. to just push through. You're able to say, yes, I feel like this is awful, and I feel like I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm completely writer's block, and I have no idea where to go from here, but I know how to deal with this now. I have some coping mechanisms and I can do this.
Yeah.
It just takes
practice. You kind of start learning tools to cope and
that
kind of stuff.
Yep. Yeah. Because I still don't know what the hell I'm doing a lot of the time.
It's like it's a lifelong skill that we have to learn as we go. Like, writing is a career. Weird.
It how is. Writing is hard.
Writing is hard. It's never not, well, sometimes it's sometimes not hard, like in very small moments, but overall writing is hard, and that's okay, and we love it, and that's why we do it. So how about some hopeful success stories about times that we've had to scrap things?
Don't ask me this one. I have no answers.
And then have found good things in it, or like has worked out well. Can we do that?
Well,
can we be positive? Is positivity a thing that we are here?
Like I said last week, like I'm working on rewriting, sort of. I'm working on revising The Star in the Ocean and making it better. And so far, I've completely rewritten the beginning of the book. Like the first 10,000 words so far are just like there are bits and pieces that I've lifted from the original, but the way it starts is completely different. All the word, like most of the words are new. I would say out of those 10,000 words, maybe like 1,500 are from the original. And that's been a really, that has felt great. Like I've already said this. So for anyone who's like actually listening to every episode, I'm just repeating myself, but like, it was an okay book to begin with. And now I just feel like I've made it so much stronger and it's so much work, and it's work that I wouldn't have been able to do necessarily at any time. I feel like I was just finally ready for it, but I'm so much happier with the way it is now. And I'm hopeful that other people will be too, but I just think like the opening is so much stronger and the flow is better and you've got a better sense of the characters right off the bat. And I'm just really happy with how it's going. And I'm grateful to myself that I've taken that time to give the story the time it deserves, because I love this book and I love these characters. And now I think that, you know, it's getting to a place that reflects that love as opposed to where it was in the beginning, which was, you know, just a draft. It was like my second draft.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily a success story yet, but it's feeling pretty good.
Hey, it's a success because you are happy with it right now.
Yep.
That's what matters.
Just knowing the places that just the beta draft version has been, and then once you go back and edit through that, like, damn.
Girl. Damn
girl.
Sorry.
Cut it out, you too. Oh my god.
No, never.
But thank you.
I refuse. I will never cut anything out.
Good.
So that's all I have, though. That's literally the only success story I have for you.
That's okay. Yes. As discussed, I don't even got one. So.
So Unbecoming Humans, my Wattpad sci-fi story, post-apocalyptic or apocalyptic, I guess. Whatever. That word that I can't think of.
Dystopia.
Thank you. Dystopia. I was like, you're welcome. It's a B word. Oh, where did it go? What are words? Yes. Dystopian. Because I wanted to write lesbian Hunger Games, which is not really what it is at all, but
oh, that's okay.
it does have lesbians in it, so one out of two.
And we do love lesbians.
Yeah, so I haven't even thought about writing. It's a trilogy. I've written the first drafts of the first two books. And everybody on Wattpad's like, when's the next book? And I'm like, never. oh God, I don't want to say it on Wattpad. And if you're listening and you have read it, I'm sorry that I said it out loud, but never. You're never going to get it. Oh God, that's horrible.
That's not horrible. It was the first thing you ever wrote. Like, I think that you're allowed to blatantly be like, this is not something that I really want to come back to. It was good for me while I was doing it, and it was a great learning experience. But you're right, it is only on Wattpad, and like, it's not as far as you, not to say it like only on Wattpad as if that's a bad thing, but mostly like, yes, it's a free novel, and you're not like getting anything else out of it, is what I mean to say.
Yeah. So, I mean, eventually there will be a third book after I rewrite the first two. But I want to keep that for myself and go publish them once I rewrite them and make them everything that they deserve to be. Because it's kind of the start. Well, it's not quite as epic as Maggie's story with The Star in the Ocean. I mean, it was like, I had a fever dream one night a couple years ago and was like, I'm going to write this whole thing right now. And I did. It was crazy. And I didn't like sleep or eat or, you know, work when I was at work. I was just writing all the time. It was not necessarily good. But
that sounds very healthy.
It was not. But it was fun. I enjoyed it. So I do want to make the best of that story. So once I get back into writing, rewriting those two books will be one of my projects, which I've kind of already started, and pretty much changed all of the characters. I wanted to make it more diverse and make it put it in a more interesting setting, something a little more dramatic and exciting, more sci-fi, more...
Basically just more everything from the sounds of it.
More everything. Yeah. More drama. Just more. More everything. and I'm really excited about it. And the stuff that I found to include in that story, I'm really excited about. So, again, it's not a success story yet, but it will be. I'm really enjoying just trashing the whole thing and rewriting it because I loved the draft for what it was. And now I'm excited that I've learned so much in the past couple of years and can do other things and make it even cooler. And hopefully people will love it even more.
Yay.
And then I'll write a third book once it's ready to happen. Ha.
Yeah. I like that.
Yes. What about you, Athena? Do you have any rousing success stories for us?
Well, the last one, I threw it all out and started over, and that book went really, that book really hit it, so. I mean.
Exactly that.
I didn't take any of what I originally wrote. No, that's a lie. I took some. Yeah. I took some of what I originally wrote, and I kind of, repurposed it, and I was able to not have to throw out everything, so I was able to save maybe a couple thousand words out of that 10,000. Because those were not plot specific. They were more, I could tweak it to fit the new plot and the new characters. And I feel like the book that I released is so good. It's one of my favorite sort of it's much more, I don't know. It has a lot to say. The characters have a lot to say about art and creativity and catharsis through art. And I'm just wow, this is kind of this means something. This isn't just people falling in love. I'm oh wow, this is legit literary merit. I don't know if I meant for it to actually have some sort of deeper meaning when I wrote it, but stuff came out while I was writing it, and yeah, I feel like it's one of my strongest. So I am very happy that I started over.
Good.
Yeah.
Yes. This brings me joy.
Yes.
Very nice.
Well, I mean, that's not to say the other book might not have also been good. I don't know. Maybe if I had written it with the original plot and the original characters, it would have been just as good in its own way. But, I mean, that's the difficulty. You never know. Do I have to scrap it? Maybe what I have right now is perfectly fine. Maybe I'm just doubting myself. Maybe it's just a whim. Maybe I'm just feeling, writer's blocked and I don't want to work, so I'm just gonna, procrastinate by starting over and ruminating on things. So I don't know. I'm happy I restarted, but I don't know if the old, the original book might not have been just as good. So that's something I just have to kind of think about and live with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, it's going to be okay. You're going to be okay, Ray.
Thank
We're
you.
We're going to get you there.
Exactly. I'm fine. I'm fine right now. I'm literally so much better than I've been in regards to writing for a while.
Good. Good. Well, writing is a marathon. As I've said already three times this week to other people, writing is a marathon. Just go do it and keep doing it and you'll get there. You'll get to where you want to be. Make it happen.
The art of writing is just keep writing.
Yep. It's really honestly it. All you can do is keep going.
Yep.
Yay.
And maybe read. Maybe read too.
Read too. Read when you get the chance.
Interact with your fellow writers. Find people who love you and support you when you're writing.
Find your tribe.
Go do it.
But ultimately just write, because if you're not writing, then you're not. You're not doing the thing. You gotta do the thing to be the thing.
Yeah.
So, write the words.
Do the thing.
Do the thing, damn it.
Well, I mean, that's, I mean, if you think it's not going to work, I have to scrap it, fine. But then you have to actually start over. You can't just, you know, I'm going to scrap it. Cool. But then you have to make sure you actually start again.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem that I kind of found. I was like, but I don't want to start from the beginning.
Do it again.
You're just in such a really tricky place, because my normal response to that would be, well, then wait until you're ready for it. But you can't, because yeah. your books go in order. And
right.
They have
like,
to happen.
You have timing and everything, because like starting again did not work for me at all. Starting again was the worst thing I could have done and put me through a lot more shit than I needed to if I had just walked away from it the first time. But if you're in Athena's situation, start again.
And just keep starting again until you get it right. God damn it.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you have a million starts to your book, at least you're still writing. Yep. And one time one of them will stick and it'll go. It'll catch like wildfire and life will be great.
Yeah.
Yes.
Does anybody have any shout outs this week?
You know what? I'm going to give a little shout out, because at first I was a little bit like, oh, these notifications are incessant. But then I actually started to participate and I've actually appreciated it. Our friend on Twitter, who goes by two names, LJ Hamlin or Lizzie Colt, whichever you know her by, possibly mm-hmm. both, is really jazzed for NaNoWriMo and took the liberty of creating a DM channel for people who wanted to participate. And originally I thought it was just like to cheer each other on for NaNoWriMo, but all the writers who are in said group have just been going nonstop. it's a DM group on Twitter, and like I said, originally I was like, okay, everyone needs to stop. Like, I thought this was just NaNoWriMo, but I've actually dipped into the conversation a couple times, and it's nice because it's just writers talking through their various different problems and sharing their advice and tips and tricks and just talking about whatever the hell is on their mind for writing, and it's kind of cool. So like, shout out to LJ for pulling that together. It's pretty cool. Yeah, just nice, you know, to dip in there, have those conversations,
start getting psyched for NaNo.
Yeah, get yourself all jacked up and ready to roll.
Yeah, and we'll be kind of like familiar with each other when it starts, so we won't just be like whining at strangers.
Yeah. <That's good. laughs> I mean, we're all in this together, but at least now we know each other's names, so.
Oh boy, NaNo's magical.
Yeah, what a time. So I think that's my only shout out. I always feel like I've got something to say until we say, anyone have any shout outs? And then I'm like, I think the other one, this is completely unrelated to writing, but has a vague connection. Somewhere between there and here, I become connected to another writer named Samantha Puck. And they had posted on Instagram, they were doing a giveaway for a couple of witchy books, but it was only open to the United States. So I was like, that's fine, but I want that book. So I bought it. And I've actually been flipping through it through this entire recording, because it literally just showed up before we started. And it's beautiful.
What is it?
I
want
to cry. It's called The Practical Witch's Spellbook for Love, Happiness, and Success. And it's so beautifully illustrated. Mara Penny did all these illustrations, and they're just gorgeous. And the spell work is so... Well, I mean, it's practical. It's good everyday stuff. I've been like putting bookmarks for all these different things I want to do. And I'm going to visit a friend tonight who has just moved into a new house. So I'm going to put together a little talisman package for her based on stuff I've read in here. It's just, so I mean, shout out to Samantha, I guess, for putting this book on my radar, because it's so nice. And I'm just so pleased.
You gotta send us some pictures of it.
Oh, yeah, I literally just pulled it up on Barnes & Noble.
Like, the illustrations are so lovely. I'm just obsessed. There's actually a few chapter starters that I'm like, can I get a print of that? Because it's just so nice. So yeah, I don't usually buy spell books because I like to come up with my own. But this one's good. I'm really digging it so far. So
and you can
for all my
still
witchy
make
friends.
It, still take what they have and make it your own. So
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. So that's my, I think that's all I have. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Get out. I want to shout out to my Belagarth friends. I have recently dove back in. Back into Belagarth. It's a medieval combat sport. It's full speed, full contact. It's not LARPing. There is some role-playing element to it, but it's mostly just fighting. Like, we dress up and stuff, and we all have our fighting names, but it's mostly just
What's
fighting.
What's your fighting name?
My fighting name is Anya E. Ahi, which is Irish, but Anya. Everybody just calls me Anya. Yeah, and I've been away for, like, 4 years, and it's been kind of, like, I've always been like, oh, I miss it, but then I was like, no, I have to go back right now. So, as Ray and Maggie know, I have jumped right back into it. I have now my own shield and sword again, which is my preferred method of fighting, sword and board. I get to try them out for the first time today, and I'm making garb again. I'm working on a tunic right now and, like, diving back into all the groups I used to be in and stuff, or some of the groups I used to be in, and kind of reinventing myself, but also going back to old things that I enjoyed. So it's been really wonderful. My realm of Stygia here in Montana is the best. And people have really, like, matured since I've been away. And it's been really cool to, like, step away and then see how things have changed and stayed the same. And it's just, and there's new people, old people, and it's just great. It's really great. And it's brought me much joy and given me something to do with myself that isn't sitting around being depressed. So yay, Belagarth.
Very cool. Super fun.
Yeah.
Yay.
If you're interested in foam fighting sports, go look at Belagarth. Geddon.org has everything you need to get started and find groups near you and stuff. So check it out. There's also Dagger here and Amped Guard, which are similar. I don't know that much about them, but they're similar.
They're similar, and that's what matters.
Yes. Delightful.
Absolutely Ray. Delightful.
How about you, Ray or Athena? Do you have shout outs?
I have no idea.
I want to shout out to all my readers. They are lovely, and I had one of the best releases ever, and it is
Yay!
Wonderful.
See, yeah. What did I say?
I only had a few books that performed even better, and they were like the last in the series, so everybody was anticipating it, and the first in the series, so everybody wanted to try it. So yeah, this one was, it performed really, really well. I'm very happy with it.
Yay, that's awesome.
And it made everyone cry, so I'm like, yes.
Yes.
I'm very happy for my readers who love and support me.
Yay.
Aww. Yay, Athena's readers, you're the best. That's
so sweet.
Good job, guys. Yeah. Good job. I don't know if I have anything. I'm sure there's something I could say. You know what? I'm just gonna shout out you, babes, and the people who have supported me while I've been dealing with this shit. Because, if you've listened to the episode at all, it's been fun. Obviously, I've had a lot of fun dealing with this Witch Girl stuff, and you guys have just been so supportive the entire time, and I just really appreciate you holding my hand while I muck through the writing mud. So
yeah, aww. Love you, Ray.
Love you guys. Thank you.
Smooches.
Smooch, smooch, smooch.
Farts.
Don't even talk to me farts right now. I've switched my dog over to raw food and oh, goddamn. It's an adventure.
Oh, can we get an
gastrointestinal adventure?
On a completely different note, that doesn't it involves the body, but not really farts. But could it also involve farts? How is the baby escaping from the womb?
We're still in a holding pattern. Apparently, her contractions are getting more intense, but we are still waiting.
Dang it! I was hoping we'd have a baby by the end of the episode.
That would have been cool.
Yeah, I'm sure she. I'm sure she was hoping the same thing. she's all hooked up and waiting. Just waiting.
Get your cute little butt
out
that here.
Baby. No kidding. God. You know what we discovered too, as we were, you know, we've got this family chat on the phones, and that's how we all keep in touch, because calling each other is totally out of the question. As we're chatting about this and making jokes about how this is the second baby and both babies have had to be induced, my mom was like, oh, Maggie and Shane were the same way. Like, they both had to be induced as well. And I was like, oh, no.
That means
it's a family trait and it's come from our side. I'm so sorry.
No.
And then my brother went on to make a really great joke about our youngest brother, who's gay. And he said, meanwhile, you know, Ty, so gay that he could not wait to vacate before his lease was up. To which Ty agreed and appreciated, because he was born in record time. I don't know if a baby has ever been born that fast. It was basically a slip and slide. He was not waiting for anybody. So anyway, babies, super glad I'm not having one. what an ordeal. Lord.
Basically, yeah. My entire life is thank God I'm not dealing with them.
Yeah. So, you know, stay tuned. Baby news, hopefully soon. Hopefully for her sake, for mom's sake, hopefully very soon.
Get it together.
Get it together, baby.
Well.
Come on, baby.
You've been listening to the Work in Progress podcast. Thank you so much for joining in with us. And you're welcome to communicate with us anytime. We would love so much to talk with you. Tell us about your troubles with your manuscripts. Whatever, or just say hi, or whatever. Just come chat with us. You can find us on Twitter at the Whip Pod, WIP Pod. You can email us talktowhip@gmail.com. You can find us on our website, thewhippodcast.com. That's what it's called, right?
I think so.
You can find us. Google it. You'll find it. You can listen to us on all the places where you listen, or most of them anyways. Rate, view, and subscribe if you love what you're listening to, or if you don't love what you're listening to.
Even if you just kind of like it, you know?
Let us know.
Yeah.
As always, if we've said anything squicky or incorrect, please let us know. We are happy to be corrected and to correct ourselves.
On a random note, this is exciting. We are officially on Spotify.
Yeah, we are on Spotify now. We've made it.
Yeah, because you've got to, like, on top of the fact that Spotify has different rules, like Anchor finally figured out how to get their stuff on Spotify. But then on top of that, there are very specific rules on Spotify about, like, how many posts you have to have and how many listeners you have to have in order for them to actually put your stuff on Spotify. And I was scrolling through a podcast on Spotify the other day to see if I, you know, could find anything that I liked. And I saw us and I was like, what the fuck, dudes?
Whoa!
So, like, we are searchable on there. We pop up in spots. I think we're in the storyteller section. I'm not 100% positive. But
awesome.
I thought that was really cool.
Amazing.
So
we're on Spotify.
Yeah.
It was on Spotify.
So special.
I know, for real.
Yeah. So thanks for listening. That's all we have for today. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
Woo!
Woo! A woo!
Yeah.
A woo!